Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Business Alchemist, where we believe in serving with spirit. We are at episode 100, and I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that's been downloading, subscribing, leaving reviews over the years. This episode is with Emily Ford, and I carefully selected Emily to be episode 100 for all the reasons you guys will hear. Let me just explain to you who Emily is. If you don't follow Emily Ford on Instagram, please do so. You will understand if you follow me for a while why I chose her. She's so aligned with my mission, her heart, her intentions, her authenticity is everything I love, admire. And in this industry, it can be a place where sometimes you see people on the internet and you're not really sure what their intentions are. And in this industry, it can be an interesting place. So it's very refreshing to come across a woman like Emily, a woman of faith, a woman of business, a woman of service. So I was so honored to have her here and speak to her and ask her amazing questions for you guys to hear. If you listen to the end, we talk about relationships, spirituality in relationships, and exactly how Emily was able to balance everything in life through service and faith. So I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. I enjoyed speaking with Emily, and as always, I love you guys. Here's the big 100. Welcome to The Business Alchemist, the podcast where we meet entrepreneurs who serve with spirit. I have one of my first personal favorites with me today, Emily Ford. She is the podcast host for The It Factor, a speaker, and recently she received an award from LA Style magazine for being a guiding light for entrepreneurs. She really is someone who helps people find their it factor, which we will be discussing today. Emily, welcome to the show.
Jackie, it's such an honor to be here with you, girl.
I was telling Emily right before we started that she's very on brand. You look beautiful in the pink. So Emily, I don't know if you know, but I've been following you for a while, and I have to say on behalf of many women entrepreneurs, it's very easy to get lost in society. So thank you on behalf of so many women for being a voice of God and really talking about faith so openly.
Oh my gosh, that means the world to me. And thank you for that. Like, thank you for sharing that with me. And, you know, I am really big, Jackie, on sharing what, so I learn, do, and then teach. That's like the whole philosophy of what I've always done. And so for me, not sharing the voice of God and the truth it literally, like, it's like I cannot not do it. You know, that's where the level of conviction that I have. And so I really appreciate that, because I know how timid some people are with it. And the truth is, I believe when you're obedient, like, God will reward you for that tenfold. And it's all about being in alignment and in integrity with yourself. And so that's where I'm at. And that's why I share.
You know, I'm gonna tell a very quick story before I start asking questions. When I was, I want to say maybe 18, I got into a little debate. You know how girls can be a little mean. And I remember, you know, I was being bullied at the time by someone I was interning with at an agency. And I remember saying to her, because I didn't want to really continue the argument, I said, you know what, let's see what happens. You know, God will handle it. And I remember this, she said, can you stop talking about God? It was like, in that conversation, she was bullying me for bringing God into the conversation. And I said, no, I will not stop talking about God. So when I discovered you as this woman entrepreneur, so open about God and faith, I was like, someone understands. So I just had to thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, the truth is, like, you can gain the whole world, but you'll lose your soul if you don't have that foundation. And, you know, it's not worth it. Like, it's just, it's not. And just keep going with it. Like, keep sharing the light, and you'll impact. And I'm sure you impacted that girl, even though she was like, you know.
Hopefully. So Emily, let's dive right into it, because before all the success and everything that's coming your way now, take me to, what was it like growing up for Emily?
Yeah, you know, I'm from a small town in Minnesota, the youngest of three, once four. My brother passed when he was five, and that's really, that accident kind of set my family on a downward spiral. My parents split, and they got back together, and then I was in an accident. And basically, like, I started my whole life in turbulence, right? My mom got full custody of us, and it was a lot of abuse, not for my mom, but a live-in boyfriend. And it was just a hard upbringing. But I always had a strange connection to the light, which we now know that that's the Holy Spirit. That's God. At the time, I didn't really know what that was. And, you know, the blessing in it all is it taught me a lot about empathy and caring for others and not judging others. And it also taught me how to work really hard, knowing that absolutely nothing was handed or would be handed to me. So I established great work ethic growing up in that way. And then, you know, after high school, I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I wanted to do business, but college didn't really make sense to me. And so I ended up working for, like, one of the top plastic surgeons in Minnesota when I was 19. And I rehabbed major weight loss patients. And I learned how to really run a private practice, like, sell products. And how do you talk to wealthy people? I didn't come from wealth or any of that. And with that, you know, I bought my first house when I was 21 and had four girls live with me to pay the mortgage plus make money. I competed in fitness. Like, I was doing 100 different things. But then, you know, I found a mentor who was like, hey, let's show you a different way to do business in life. And I dove in when I was 23 is when I really started, like, real entrepreneurship. So
I love that there's so much to unpack there. She bought her first house. We have to highlight that for anyone listening. So it's totally possible. But I want to ask you, with everything you just said, let's unpack it a little, because sales is a big part of personal branding. And I see it all the time on social media. People have brands, but they don't have business. And people are constantly posting content without a strategy. So something you just said, I want to touch up on. When it comes to sales and talking to wealthy people or people in general, what is that it factor, how to communicate with your audience in order to make them feel safe to get that sale?
Yeah, you know, it all comes down to trust. And, you know, I work with different brands, whether it's a shoe brand or a personal brand is primarily the lane I drive in. And a personal brand is you, right? And gone are the days where you can just do quotes and things like that and expect sales. People need to do business with people they like, know, and trust. So if they never get to know you, how are they going to figure out if they like you or not, or even trust you? And so what I have found is there's people creating content that doesn't let me in, right? It's almost like if I open my door to my house right now and let you in my house, right? There's certain rooms I'm not going to let you in, but for the most part, I'm going to let you in. And I'm going to show you what I'm making for dinner, what I do day to day, and what I believe in. And that comes with what I sell. And so I find that there's two things going on. People are not being real enough. Like it's very, I call it vanilla, very surface level. And therefore no one follows them because it's boring. It's boring. So, you know, there's so many people online now. So you want to have something that stands out, which is yourself. Actually, it's yourself that stands out. And then from there, it's like, what are you an expert in? What do you even have? What are you offering? Because if you're going to invest time on, you know, these things, apps, digital, you definitely want to have a gain behind the game. You want to have something that you're offering, that you're known for. Otherwise, like, you know, you're going to be broke really fast. And so what I love to do is teach people to really niche down, but then also have pillars that express yourself. That's what I'd call your it factor, and grow your brand that way. And that way, like if you pivot, if you switch, if you decide, you know what, I want to write a book on this, or you switch industries, like your personal brand is still there and your audience is still there because they like you, not just what you sell.
That's so important. You know, that term, as funny as it is, vanilla, it's true. And, you know, I have to say, everyone listening, I'm guilty of this in the past, you know, because when I was starting, you know, my podcast years ago, I would, and this is the worst thing, comparison, right? So I would, you know, maybe see people online. I was like, okay, I have to do it this way, right? So if anyone is listening, you know, what Emily said is super important. You know, don't compare yourself to other people. Really just have your audience get to know you. And that way, as Emily said, if you pivot in this direction, you have this branch. You know, I like to say that a personal brand is like the tree trunk. And then certain different areas of your life that you love or maybe you discuss or you let people into are your branches that then you can pivot if you had to.
I
know you said that, you know, your family, you know, you lost your brother, and I'm sorry for that, by the way. That's a terrible thing to have happen in your family. But everyone has a pivotal moment in their life, whether it's, you know, that rock bottom moment. So beside that moment for your family, what was your personal rock bottom moment and how did you navigate through it?
Yeah. I mean, there's been plenty, but one, you know, one pivotal one, you know, I remember like being in my like late 20s and just being like, we're good. Like, I don't think anything's ever gonna, like, I don't know. I just felt kind of invincible, you know, being at a high level in business at a very young age and so naive. And, you know, I went through a breakup. I was married previously, and it was so hard to just deal with that in general, but then deal with business and deal with being public and not throwing someone under the bus and how do you navigate all this? And you know, I was married young and, you know, was only with one person pretty much my whole life. And so it was so traumatic because it was like a tug of war. And it's like, I knew that there was nothing left there. And it was like, opinions. And I'm sure anybody listening to this is like, they've gotten this to some degree in some way, shape, or form. And it sounds so simple to be like, well, don't listen to them. It's your life, you know? But it was so hard and I was so alone. And the beauty in all that is that's when I really like turned to my faith even more and grew, I mean, so much in that pain, because I really, you know, broke open from it. Instead of like staying broken, I was like, I gotta heal from this and figure out what I want, because what I had is not what I want, you know, the trauma and drama and all that. So I would say that was like the most difficult time, you know, which was, you know, a blessing in disguise.
You know, it's interesting that I've noticed there's a pattern with female entrepreneurs. There's always that something in relationships happens and we go through that rock bottom. And it's almost interesting because we have to think of, well, how did we get there in the first place, right? Like, how did we get there, right? Yeah. So that changes everything, because then in the next relationship, and we'll get into your amazing and congratulations on your engagement recently. Yeah. We then get to rethink of what we want. So when you started to rebuild yourself, I'm sure, you know, you talk about discipline a lot, Emily, which I love.
Yeah, I love
you guys. And all the links, by the way, will be in the show notes. You guys have to see her Instagram if you haven't yet. This girl's always disciplined, always working out. But was there a time when you were just starting to rebuild yourself and discipline maybe wasn't easy? What were some of the things that maybe you dreaded, and how did you push through that?
You know, for me, it's so crazy because I was still like working out and eating clean is just a part of me. But, and I was trying to explain this to people actually last night on Instagram, because when your body is in stress, your cortisol levels raise. And I was like carrying a lot of water weight. And I was puffy because I was so stressed because I wasn't sleeping. I'm a 8 hour a night girl. And I wasn't sleeping because my head was like all day long. Right. And, you know, for me, there was moments of, you know, either not eating or overeating. So, you know, going through, you know, all the stress that comes with a breakup, right. A divorce, it was just like both sides of the spectrum. I'm an extremist. And so, you know, being unhealthy and stressed, and then being a woman who's now alone, and I felt unsafe a lot of times in LA, that shows up in different ways on how we even look. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest thing for me. And then, you know, because I love what I do, and the fastest way to change my state is to serve another person. So instead of like serving myself and really like looking at what happened, I kind of just went to the next thing and didn't really fully deal with it straight away. And that, you know, came back to bite me in the butt later on.
Oh, it always does. You know, it always does. You know, I was going to ask this question that, before we serve others, you know, and I recently had this in my meditation, this kind of came to me, because just like you and many others maybe listening, or, you know, just in the world, we're always trying to serve others. And I guess you can say I'm going through that transitional period where that voice was like, well, you can serve yourself more, because how can we pour from an empty cup? And right. Serving spirit, you know, or with spirit, as we like to say on The Business Alchemist, it's being obedient to that higher consciousness or the voice of God, you know, whatever someone feels comfortable saying. Yeah. Is that how you would say that, you know, you kind of navigated through it? Like, it would tell you to just keep going and, you know, eat clean, eat healthy. Like, it was that inner compass that guided you, and you stayed very disciplined to thyself in order to serve others.
Yeah, it's like once I know the truth, it's hard for me to like see something different. And so, you know, being somebody who sold nutritional supplements for 15 years and speaking about nutrition and you know, like all that stuff, like once I know what to do, that's just how my brain is. It's like, you know better. So it does become a big part of me. And it just kind of, it just changes me a little bit. However, there's certain parts of stress that no matter what you do, like you can't mask it, you know?
What are some ways, because I'm sure, you know, we're human and I'm sure that there are days that maybe even now, but maybe you're stressed before an event or a hiccup occurs. What are some ways that now you might handle stress than you did differently than you would before?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I used to just let things really affect me. Being an empath, being, you know, more, I'm an outgoing introvert, feeling deeply. Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, so now it's just like, there's so much happening that I cannot like, I'll just give an example. I paid for a service, something to get done. Like, you know, I have employees, but I also contract people out. And like, it was a disaster. Like it was just like any normal person would be just royally pissed. It was like, how much time did we waste on trying to build something? The person wasn't a person of an integrity. It was a whole thing, right? And like old Emily, I was telling my fiance Jake, this would literally let this like ruin my week, ruin my month, ruin. But I'm like, it is what it is. We got to deal with what we have and move on, crouton. And I'm literally like, we have too many blessings at our doorstep right now to sit and dwell on this person that doesn't conduct business in a great way. Mm-hmm. And it's not our fault. We just got caught in the crossfire. So like, move on. And, you know, that has just taken experience and realizing that I'm in control of my day. And yes, there's bad things that come up. There's things that lower my frequency. There's things that are like, what the heck was that? But I'm like, I just do the best I can with what I have. And I'm like, how are we going to make the most of the situation? And so people naturally tend to just, that we're attracted to drama. It's a natural thing. And so even with my staff, they wanted to continue to like spiral and talk about it. And I'm like, guys, literally, we're done. Move on. You know, we need to talk about what we're building and the lives we're impacting and what we're creating. And so you know, I just really, I stop during my day and I'm like, how are you? I check in with myself a lot. Like how you like literally talk to myself a lot to be like, what are you saying right now? What are you thinking right now? What's taking your energy right now? And I'm just super conscious of it.
Wow. That was so powerful. I want to just pause and anyone listening, like really take that in. She checks in with herself. I think that's so important for many reasons, but it's interesting how we, you know, you just mentioned frequency and blessings. And I want to talk about that for a second, because one of my friends, you know, being in this industry, things happen. And one time I was going through, you know, maybe something similar, and whether you want to call them haters, you know, whatever the term is, they come because if we're a light, right, in the darkness, we stand out. And she said something very interesting to me that anyone listening could, you know, maybe really take this in. She said, if an eagle is flying really high, you know, a snake on the grass can't reach it. So when you're counting your blessings, you know, like you just said, and that's so important for someone like you, you know, running a business to really pay attention to, if you focus on the blessings in that moment, you are, you know, that eagle flying high. And you're not letting the little stuff underneath in a lower frequency get to you, which is super, super important. So I love that you do that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that as we evolve, we have to have the awareness for that, because as you said, the old Emily would have probably focused on that. And it's interesting that people around us, and this is why you really are a guiding light for entrepreneurs. Again, congratulations for that, because people on your team wanted to be attracted to that drama because it's almost the norm and the programming. You know, we're programmed with reality television, certain people in fame and in the spotlight, the tabloids love the drama. So to rise above it and be a leader like you are for your team and many others, I really applaud you because that's very, very important.
Thank you.
But I want to ask you, with everything that's coming to you, you know, there's these terms, manifestation, and I know you're someone who believes in prayer, but is there a manifesting aspect to it? Like everything that's happening to you now, did you ever envision it before it happened? Like, take me through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I first got into business and like my money mindset wasn't there. I mean, I was like, woof. And that was the first year, month, whatever, that I made my vision board and, you know, discovered the law of attraction. And, you know, I quickly realized like, okay, I got to have the vision, but I got to have the action. Like we got to like, you know, but what you focus on, you find, and what you focus on expands. And that made so much sense to me of like, the science of like literally like focusing on something and believing it and the belief level of I can achieve it. And for me, it's prophesying, it's speaking it over and into my life. And that's like having the spirit come in and again, blessing it. But if it's not for me, like, let your will be done. And that's something that I've really learned through growing in my faith for sure. But definitely like when I am like praying or meditating or even just daydreaming, like, or, you know, acting with my spiritual gifts, with, you know, using the gifts of speaking in tongues, things like that, like, that's really when dreams get activated inside of me and I get visions and see things that are not from me. The only way that I'm able to get the supernatural is being in that and being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And before I would try to operate a lot in the natural, and it's great. I would have great dreams and great thoughts and great, blah, 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 you know, but since I've really like understood that, you know, when you have the supernatural, gosh, amazing things can happen and doors can be opened and all that stuff. And so definitely I'm a huge, huge dreamer, visionary, you know, every day, all day, constantly. In fact, my head's probably in the clouds more than it's on the earth.
I love that. But let's say there's someone listening. I love that so much. But let's say there's someone listening, because I hear this all the time, you know, I'm praying and nothing's happening. I'm trying to manifest and nothing's happening. What would you say to someone who feels like their prayers or their manifestations haven't been answered yet? What are they doing something wrong? Is there something else they should be looking into? What would you say to someone listening and saying, Emily, I'm praying nothing's happening. I'm trying to manifest. It's not happening.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple points to that. Like number one, patience. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted the man I have now a long time ago, like, and he, you know, it was being obedient and, in our obedience and is really where God speaks to us and nourishes us. And he's not always going to tell you what you want to hear, but a lot of times he's trying to tell you things and you're not listening. And so what I have found is like, we stop listening. So we stop getting access to the things that he wants us to hear. So we stop being obedient. And so the frequency gets turned down and we're not now operating in that supernatural. We're not. And so, you know, I would ask you, like, when have you last met with your creator, you know, and are you trying to do this alone? You know, and for me, it's like, my dreams are so big. There's no way I can do it alone. There's no way. I got to have the right people in my path. I got to have expanded vision. I got to do a lot of different things. It's got to happen in the supernatural. And so, you know, I think like open your heart up and have a greater encounter have an encounter, if you're not there with God, and pray for patience as well. But just know that sometimes when we're not getting what we want, it's actually because he's protecting us. He's protecting us from something that is going to steer us down the wrong path, or it's going to be a bad deal, or it's just not meant to be, or you're not ready yet. You're not ready for what you're praying for. Like, I wasn't ready for my fiance. I wasn't, as much as I wanted to be ready. I wasn't ready 4 years ago, 3 years ago, even. Like, I wasn't ready to let a man into my life and my heart and all that. And so it's like, it's on God's time and not yours. And so if you just learn the art of surrendering, your life will change for the better. And you have to learn to not be such a control freak. Mm-hmm. And that is from your sister, who is a recovering control freak. And I still like to go down that lane.
I love that so much. So what, let's just, because everything you just said, that's a lot, right? So
I know.
There's, you know, there's the obedience, there's the patience, you know, there's a lot that, because we've been programmed for instant gratification with the social media and with everything going on in the world, you know, what did obedience sound like to you? You know, so maybe there's someone listening and they're like, well, what does obedience or preparation even sound like from the Creator?
Oh my gosh, this is like so speaking to me right now. Okay. So what I really have done is, especially in a world of so many entrepreneurs, and if you're aspiring, you're in that echo chamber, and so many people in personal development, and so many people in podcasts, and so many people with books, and so many blah, 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 life coaches, all the things. And so I was like, pause, like, we got to stop consuming all the noise. And I am proud of all the people. It's not that I'm not proud of them, but for me and for you, I recommend to stop consuming all the stuff and start going inward and creating. And I always say this, you're either consuming or you're creating. You cannot do both simultaneously and crush it, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll grab ideas from other people here or there, but limit that out. Because there's something waiting to be birthed in you and extracted to you, from you, through you, to give to the public, a mission. The it factor was birthed from me stepping away from the echo chamber. And it was like, that's really what broke my heart, because it pisses me off that people don't understand how great they are because they're trying to be somebody that they'll never be because they don't understand their DNA, their makeup, the intricacies of how they were created in the womb. That's a whole nother thing. But what I would say is, like, turn off the people you follow. And again, we're grateful for it all. It's just, if you're meant to do big things, you cannot be a copycat. All the, like, you just, like, you'll never stand out. And so for me, like, the obedience thing, back to your original question, Jackie, was I knew that I needed to do a new thing. And when I would pray and listen, it was like this, hello, you know, you're not happy in what you're doing. You know that you need to serve a different audience. You know that you're called to do different things. And I was like, oh, but what if I leave this business, and then what if people get mad, and oh my gosh, like, I'm going to switch from this industry to this. I'm basically switching from network marketing, being one of the top in the world, to, you know, thought leadership. Like, am I good enough to do that? Does that even make sense? And, you know, it was like, like, if you saw my head, you'd be exhausted. But I had to follow that obedience of, no, there is people that need you that you will never reach if you stay in the lane that you're in. And it's like, oh, it was hard. It was hard. But now I'm finally getting through and doing a new thing. And so, yeah, that's being obedient.
Yeah. And you said you knew, you know, it's that knowing. And you said it earlier also, like people will hear the voice of God. They will know, you know, for example, let's say it's someone, it could be the smallest thing. Let's say they need to drink more water and they know they need to drink more water, but they won't even take the action to get a glass of water. And someone said this to me recently, like, if you can't take such small advice from the creator, how do you expect to get access for the bigger things? You know, that's what it means to serve with spirit. You know, if spirit's even guiding you, like, hey, take better care of your body, you know, you need to. Hey, you're in the wrong relationship, you know, you need to get out. Hey, you know, it's that inner knowing. So if anyone is listening, you all have the inner knowing, but you're scared, you know. And, you know, they always say that your new version or your best life is on the other side of fear, which is so very true. So I applaud you and I thank you for pushing through with the disciplines and the obedience, because you know, you're creating such a powerful movement for so many people, especially, as I mentioned earlier, women entrepreneurs. And, you know, there's a book somewhere in me that's actually titled Dear Good Girls, you know, because I think we're making a comeback, girl. I think we're
yes, I'm excited for this. Yeah.
But let's dive into your relationship now, if we may, because, you know, we're talking about obedience, how you were preparing for, you know, your fiance. But recently, when you guys got engaged, I saw a little post, if I may. You guys almost knew that knowing when you first met, and you said to him, who are you? So for anyone that's single in their, you know, in their harvest season preparing, what did that first interaction, or how was that knowing when it comes to your significant other? Because I know the girls want to know this.
So I was in my season of single for like 3.5, almost 4 years. And it's a long time, by the way, but I was not settling. And so, you know, for me, it was like, I went to the beach and I wrote out, like, here's what I want in a man. And I was like, okay, there's a long list. So let me just circle the top five that are non-negotiables. And for me, being a woman who gets stuff done, like, listen, I'm all about female independence, but I also, I need a man. Like, let's just be real, because I can be more in my feminine. And so for me, you know, I was like, okay, I want a man though that can lead me. Like, that was number two on the list. Like, he's got to be able to lead me, who's already like a leader of leaders, right? And so I wanted that so bad. And it was just by happenstance that I was going out to an event that he was speaking at. I was actually dropping off some of my nutritional products. And my good friend was like, you know, make sure you meet Jake. That's who these are for. And it was his first speaking event. Little did I know. I had no idea. I thought the dude had been doing it for a while. But basically what happened is he came down from the hotel to go in to speak. And it's at this big entrepreneur thing with like one of the Shark Tank guys, Mark Victor Hansen, all these guys. He comes down and he's like in peak state, like ready to go on back, you know, backstage. And he is 6'7", so that helps. But I had this like wave come over me. And I'm a girl who runs, like, sometimes I speak and I'm the only girl. Like, I'm used to being around men. I'm used to being around powerful men. Some of my best friends are men. Like, it don't faze me. It don't. Like, it just doesn't. And so for me, I was like, whoa. But because I was so kind of blocked off, I didn't really identify, like, oh, this guy, I like this guy, right? And it was this like feeling though. And I heard him speak, he was amazing. And then after, I went to like a dinner with him, and he had family there and clients there and all these people. And I just observed the way that he acted with his aunt and his everyone. I was just watching and I'm like, oh my gosh, he is such like a standout, classy, guy. And every single time he would come near me, I felt like I was literally 16 years old. And I'm like, you know? And so basically from there, it was like, okay, I have the butterflies. And then, you know, he took me as his date to like this big gala thing. And it was so like Cinderella. I was so nervous. I was more nervous to meet with him than speak in front of 10,000 people. But the reason and the way I knew is just because of the way he held himself and his values. And that's literally like who he is. And he's the same, whether he's with people or in private. And, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is everything you've ever prayed for. And the next step though was getting me to be open to receiving it because I was very guarded.
Let's talk about that quickly if we can, because many female entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders, you know, we're in that masculine role in business. We're around powerful men. So we kind of turn into them and there's nothing wrong with it. But how is that transition for you to feel safe enough? Because we have to feel safe enough to start to let your guard down. What was that process like of opening the feminine from being so powerful for so many years and guarded?
Yeah. And, you know, and being raised by a single mom, right? Mm-hmm. So like that programming as well. And again, kudos to my mommies out there single. But the process was literally awareness of you are not like leading him right now. Like you got to tone it down, you know, like being romantic in my feminine. And because he holds it down, he's an alpha male, where previously in my life, I was with more beta men. So I like told them to jump and they said how high, and it wasn't attractive at all. So I realized though, like I cannot be combative with him. I have to honor him. Mm-hmm. And because he really is a great guy and he stands firm, like it allows me to just go, oh, and it's like my whole nervous system was just like, and I honestly think it's why I'm even more healthy today and more lean today, because I'm not so stressed because he's, but I had to really, and even still today, I'll catch myself go into power Emily mode, and there's nothing wrong. He likes power Emily mode. It's just, I do things every day that makes me reconnect with my feminine, the way I dress, I take baths every night, the way I work out, the way, you know, there's a lot of practices, even with spirit, that's very feminine. I wear flowy clothes sometimes, like I try to be sexy, like that is who I am to my core, you know? And so, it's like day by day, just working on those things and recognizing when I'm being a little bossy and I need to just like tone it down. And there's times where I'm like, I just want to boss it out right now. And like, but I'm like, you know what? Not necessary, because he's not going to be attracted to me and I just got to let him do his thing.
That is so powerful, because you know, we have those moments where we want to it up, but we can't, you know, we can't bring the masculine from work into our relationship. And I love that you said honor him. So to anyone listening, it's okay to honor a safe masculine, right? It's so important to honor
him. And the more I honor him, the more he wants to love me and take care of me and protect me and bring me roses. And it's like, it's interesting how it works. It really is. Because men want to protect. Mm. They do it in their nature. So we got to let them do that. And I don't want to be alone. I don't want to do this all by myself. Like, listen, like, I'm not about that. We need men, but we need men with integrity and that have values and that they're good men, right? Like, yeah. So let's not hate on men ever.
Yeah, no. No. You know,
some people do though, like in the female space, and it's like, and I get that. There was a moment where when I went through my stuff, I was like, oh my God, I'm never gonna get married again. You know, but it's because I had a really bad relationship with marriage, and even in my family lineage with marriage. And so I had to break all that off, all those curses over my freaking family, you know.
And you said something that I want to say thank you for, because You said that you got butterflies and you felt like a 16-year-old. So thank you for saying that, because in my single girl season, I've had people say, "Oh, butterflies are just anxiety." I was like, "It's like," and I was like, "No, I want someone that I feel butterflies." So thank you, because see, that is possible, and some of us, that's genuinely what we want to experience. There is a feminine essence in the butterflies, because you're almost surrendering. Like, oh my God, like he's breaking down my guard, and that makes me nervous, you know? So thank you.
That is so good. The way that you just shared all that, that is so accurate. And yeah, I mean, like, it should not be forced. It should flow. And it's like magnets. So like when we met, we were like magnets, like it was just like, you know, where I would go on dates with multi-millionaire, blah, 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 they have, and I wanted to poke my eyes out. And I'm like, I am not about to babysit you for the rest of our life. And you're like a hurricane, or intellectually, they couldn't meet me there, stimulate me, you know? And I was like, bye. You know, we don't even need to order like the main dish, like we're good with appetizers.
That's so true. It's so true. I'm not even on dating apps for those reasons. I'm like, I want to go home on sweatpants, because I'm thinking of like leading people, and someone's like thinking about like what to purchase, you know. And that's a whole other topic, how men buy love. That's a whole other topic. But Emily, with, you know, you had success at such a young age, and you have so much more success coming your way. But what would Emily today tell younger Emily?
You know, I would tell her to, gosh, what would I tell her? I you know, because I really do look at some of my failures as major lessons. I would tell her to not live a lie. Faster. Like when you live your life in truth, it is so freeing. It is like, I got nothing to hide. This is me. This is my truth. And it's such a high frequency. And when you live in that way, it literally makes you want to share. It makes you want to share your experiences, your traumas, your dramas, the lessons, all of it, your blessings. And for like a period, because I didn't know what to do in my life, I felt like I was hiding, and I felt like I was almost like secret keeping. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when you have a public brand to live that way. It feels very stifling. And not only even to the, I don't care whatever the people think, but to me in my own body and being, it just, anytime someone keeps a secret, whether you do an affair or you do a dirty business deal or you're lying about something, like it is so low frequency, and it literally, like, it's the worst ever. And so I think just like, I would have not kept quiet for so long. And I did that for far too long.
I love the way you just put that into perspective. You know, when you don't show the world your it factor, or you're putting on this social media facade, you're keeping a secret, because you could potentially be the gift that someone is waiting for. So that's a beautiful way to put it, that you're secret keeping. I love that so much.
Oh, we got to unleash. We got to unleash, you know, and 100%. So
Emily, I am so grateful that you came on The Business Alchemist. Emily, tell them, even though it's going to be in the show notes, tell them where they could find you on social media.
Yes, they can find me at It's Emily, ITSEMILY, or meetemilyford.com. Should be ready to go here soon. So thank you, Jackie. This was so fun.
And the It Factor.
Yes. And the It Factor show.
One of my favorite podcasts. So guys, definitely tune in. All the links will be in the show notes. Emily, thank you so much again for coming.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'll be right back.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.